Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
And you're around the world and you've had a safe landing. We're here in Melbourne, studios of Joy 94.9 at City Village. And my co-host today, I'm Greg Atkins, by the way, my co-host is Lindsay.
And that's me, I believe, and that was a beautiful segue into introduce me, Greg, and I thank you. And landing in Melbourne on a day like today, you wouldn't want to leave, really, would you? The sun's out, the breeze is a little chilly but fresh, and everybody's up, and Melbourne's looking fabulous.
It's just a beautiful city.
It's a bonza.
What do you think, our guest today, Paul Williamson?
I think Melbourne is a beautiful city. I got out early this morning and down to the Port Melbourne Farmers Market and walked around Gasworks Park and saw lots of people out doing their shopping. It was a great day.
Well, that's a brilliant idea. If you're visiting Melbourne, how would someone go about getting to the Port Melbourne Farmers Market?
They would get on the 109 tram and head on down to Port Melbourne, and then they would walk along the beachfront until they get to Pickles Street, and then it's just a couple of blocks up Pickles Street, and it's right there on the corner, Gasworks Park.
That's fantastic. What a great idea. I'm so inspired.
Pickles. I always love Pickles Street. Is it renowned for its pickles or?
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
Not anymore.
Thanks for tuning to Detours. That's the end of the show. We're off to the market.
We're off to the markets. I need some fruit and veg.
No, we're not. No,
cauliflower and a cuke.
So what's been happening in the sector this week, Paul and Lynn?
In my sector, what can I say? It's been an interesting week, as usual, a week of mixed blessings, as everybody's is. But I have to admit that the weather, I think, what day was it? There was one day this week, it was really quite cold. I just thought, I am just ready to just stay in bed and not face this day. It was horrendous. And I kept saying to myself, this is the last day like this, this is the last day like this. But it was just horrible. And it may have been Wednesday or one of those days. Anyway, I dragged my tired old carcass out and I made it, but it was just a shocker. It was too cold to smoke.
I still think this crisp morning, this sort of early pre-spring morning, it's got to be the best mornings we have in Melbourne.
And the days, I mean, like today is just a perfect day as far as I'm concerned. There's a bit of cloud about, a little bit of breeze, as you say, but the sun is shining so brightly.
It's very Canberra, because if you've ever spent time in Canberra, in the mornings it is Sin City. In the morning it is so cold, it is bitter, and then by about 11 o'clock, maybe lunchtime, the sun comes out and it's just perfect, and the sheep take off their woolly jumpers and life begins.
Well, just
very
next,
Canberra.
Next to Canberra is Queanbeyan, and I used to have a little flat in Queanbeyan, a little apartment I'd go to and work between Monday and Friday each week. And there's a little pond not far from my old flat in Queanbeyan. This tells you, Melbourne's a joy compared to Canberra. I woke up one morning, went for a run, and there in the top of the little pond, which had frozen solid, was this poor duck.
Oh, no.
Frozen solid. Oh, no.
A stuck duck.
A stuck duck.
Oh, no. So, look, Canberra's a lovely place to visit.
It was dead, I assume.
It definitely was.
Yeah. And what, did you cook it with apricots?
No, that's coming up at 1 o'clock, Pete Dillon with Cravings.
A beautiful segue again.
Yeah, that's right, except his ducks usually aren't that deceased.
They're orange, duck a l'orange.
Now, today, Paul, we are going to explore your journeys. Give us
yes,
a bit of
indeed.
A taste of
well, been. I was very, very fortunate. At the end of May, I got to head off to Alaska, all the way through to Anchorage, and I boarded there with my partner Anthony, the beautiful Silver Shadow, which is one of the Silver Sea ships, and we cruised from Anchorage all the way to Vancouver, and stopped at a number of fantastic places along the way. We saw glaciers, we saw lots of snow-capped mountains. So we stopped at places like Valdez, where we did a bus trip up to the Worthington Glacier, and we could actually walk up to the glacier. And we saw photos of how the glacier has retracted, if that's the right word. I don't think it is. you know, gone back.
Shrunk.
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 Shrunk. Mm. So it certainly has shrunk.
Shrunk like a frozen duck in a pond.
But there's still, I have to say, there are still a lot of glaciers in Alaska, I'm very pleased to tell you. So I'm not quite so worried that Port Phillip Bay is going to overflow into Port Melbourne anymore. But no, we were really lucky. We did the second day we stopped at a place called Skagway, and we did a rail journey in up the Yukon Railway, where the gold miners had gone at the end of the 19th century. And a beautiful train journey and views out either side of the train. And then back into Skagway, which is a little town with, I think, one post office and about 27 jewellery stores. So I think what happens is that these little towns sort of close down over the winter, but in the summer the cruise liners buy up or they bring in the staff to staff these jewellery stores so people can go shopping while they're in town.
So can I ask, you know, like in Australia, if you go to Western Australia, I think it is, you'll go into stores and it's full of opals, for example. Was there any specific stone that was predominant in these stores, or gold or anything like that, or is it just let's sell jewellery?
I think it was basically let's just sell jewellery. Mm. Not being a jewellery shopper myself, I stayed clear of these shops, but I know, and they were offering discounts too. I spoke to one woman who said she just wandered into a shop and said she wasn't really interested in buying anything, but the sales techniques are such that, oh, you know, would, if you did want something, you know, what would you want?
Yeah.
And, you know, how much would you be prepared to pay if, you know, you were going to buy something? So, yeah.
Just to coax you down that path.
Pardon?
Just guide you gently towards
till. Yeah, towards the purchase, yes.
Well, all this and more, we're starting the day with Paul Williamson. Paul, before we start, and we've got a little bit of music to play.
Mm-hmm.
You've chosen, it's Paul Williamson Music Extraordinaire today. The show you have on Joy.
Yes, it's the Cabaret Room. So, and that's Sunday nights at 9 p.m. But today I thought I'd not choose cabaret. I've sort of gone with a few what I consider to be gay classics from the sort of 70s and 80s. And the first one is Bonnie Tyler with Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Thanks. You're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guest Paul Williamson.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely, never coming round. A total eclipse of the heart. Turn around, bright eyes.
Joy 94.9.
More than details, you're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg. And our guest today, Paul Williamson. That music again was?
It was Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. And Lindsay was just asking me what other song she sang, and I came up with Lost in France.
Ah, there you go.
Which I have been at one stage, but that's another story, not today.
Oh, I never got lost in France. Actually, I'd love to get lost in France.
Well, if you've been lost in France or you are about to be lost in Alaska or in Canada, you can join us on 0427JOY949 with the SMS, or what's the on-air email address, please, Linz?
Oh, hang on. Do I get 10 out of 10 if I get it right? onair@joy.org.au.
10 out of 10.
Well
she's
done.
She's a good one, this one.
He threw that one at me.
And can I just say a quick hi to Peter, who is my co-host on Cabaret Room, who I believe was at the Greyhound last night in the cloakroom doing great stuff again.
Raising funds for Joy, and we thank the Greyhound for their great assistance in supporting community. So good on you, Greyhounders. Amazing shows. When you travel, and you're about to tell us about the cruise, I want to tell us what the type of shows you saw inside the cruise ship were.
Well, I have to say they were a little bit disappointing. They did have a singer, a couple of singers from the UK, and they had dancers. They had a pianist from New York whose name was Hyperion Knight. He was quite
Hyperion Knight.
True name, real name.
No.
He'd grown up in Berkeley, San Francisco, and I think sort of, you know, which is a very at that time was quite a liberal, small-L liberal community. I think his parents were hippies, but he'd turned into quite a, I think, quite a right-wing guy. Yeah. and a successful pianist.
Obviously, they're on some sort of substance when they named him.
I think so. But the shows, they were fine, but they just lacked a bit of pizzazz, I think. What was good on the ship, they had a couple of guest lecturers who talked about aspects of the Arctic and the Antarctic, also sort of political sort of description of what's happening in parts of the Middle East as well. And also there was one on tea and the importance of drinking tea. And all tea is good for you, Greg, whether it be black, green, whatever tea.
Well, you're a black with none, and I'm a white with none.
Yes, that's right.
What are you, Lynn?
I'm a black with two.
Wow, there we go. Between us,
and also lemon. A slice of lemon, but I prefer honey. So a tea for me is like black tea, honey, and a slice of lemon. Apparently, it's very Russian to have the lemon in the tea, but who can say?
Paul, while you're sitting there on your cruise ship,
yes,
sipping your black with none,
yes.
Did you reflect on how you got there? And how did you get
there? Yes, we flew Melbourne, Sydney, San Francisco, and this became a very long day because we left on a Saturday left Melbourne on the Saturday and arrived in San Francisco at about the same time that we'd left Australia. So we had a very long day and we were staying at a hotel quite close to San Francisco Airport, and we got there in time for lunch, and then I think we had a little nap during the afternoon, and then we had dinner, and then the next day we were flying up to Seattle and then from Seattle to Anchorage. But being the World Airline System, our flight was delayed, so we did have to get onto a later flight out of Seattle going to Anchorage. And in fact, we landed in Anchorage at about 1 a.m., one in the morning, and sunset had been at about 11:30, so it was still sort of twilighty in the middle of the night when we landed in Anchorage because it's so far north. And then sunrise, I think, was at about 4:30.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a very long day. So we were very pleased to find our hotel room in Anchorage.
Now, when you arrived in Anchorage, what type of year was it? What time of year? And was it extended nights, extended days?
Yeah. So, you know, sunset at 11:30 and sunrise at 4:30. So it's a short night. It was the end of their spring, beginning of their summer. And I have to say, Anchorage was looking gorgeous the next day when we had a bit of a walk around the city, small city, but a city nonetheless. It was a bit like today. The sun was shining. The mountains were glistening with snow. It was just quite flat, so you could walk around very easily, and a lot of people cycling and people were out enjoying the sunshine, which was great.
If you're a traveller that hasn't had to spend a lot of time, I suppose, preparing, and you're struggling to cycle up a hill, can you walk around that town very safely?
Yes, yeah, you can, and in fact, even if you're in a wheelchair, you could, move around. It's fairly flat, and they've got walking paths which are nice and wide, and it felt like a bit of a sort of frontier town, you know, being on the edge of the snow, but it had a nice feel about it. There were some good coffee shops and, you know, civilization was there.
And you arrived, and the Alaska journey was a stage towards the cruise. So how long did you get on land before you hit the ocean?
We just arrived, as I said, during the night, and then we just had that morning in Anchorage, and then we got onto the ship at about 1 in the afternoon. So it was a very brief stay in Anchorage. And then, the ship was wonderful. The crew were terrific. It was an international crew. So people from all over the world, but mainly or a large percentage of Filipino staff, and they were very, very friendly and very efficient. In fact, I think there were about 380 passengers and about a similar number of crew. So you know, you're very well looked after, you're pampered. It's a very nice way to travel.
I think that's extraordinary. If you haven't been on a cruise, I mean, when you first set foot on the ship, at what point do you realise you're floating on water? When do you get that sense of movement?
It depends. I think we got on, obviously, and then you sort of find your cabin and sit down, have lunch, and da da da. And then when you sort of move off, there's usually a little bit of, you know, the captain will say, "We're about to leave now," and da 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 da.
It's a bit of a ceremony.
A little bit of a ceremony, but I have to say that this was such smooth sailing down the Alaskan coast. There was hardly a bump, really. These are fairly large ships, and they're obviously designed to withstand the wave action. But it was very smooth sailing.
Fantastic. Mm. What do you see while you're cruising down the coast?
Well, you see lots of snow-capped mountains, and you see glaciers. We went into a bay called College Bay, and there were two glaciers. One was called Harvard and one was called Yale. And they're just stunning. The sort of the blue, I guess it's ice that forms, or the forming of the glacier, and it's just reflected in the sunshine, and you think, oh, it's very, very attractive. And you also get, as you get closer, the ice flows coming off the glacier. And occasionally you'll see on an ice floe a seal or a sea lion. And so everyone's out there with their binoculars looking for wildlife. And we were also very fortunate. We did see some whales, some humpback whales. And then when we got down to Juneau, we did a whale-watching tour. And we saw some orca as well. And, you know, we saw them jumping out of the water.
Wow.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's a great place for whale watching along the Alaskan coast.
How close do they come to the boat, Paul?
I'm guessing about, there's a certain amount that the boats legally can only go, I think, 20 metres. If they spot a whale, they can't get closer than 20 metres, or okay, it might be 10 metres. I can't quite remember. But, I'm guessing about we were probably not quite that close. We would have probably been 40, 50 metres away.
Beautiful. Because people say that, you know, people who watch whales, it's a real spiritual experience, and, you know, they see a whale and it's absolutely life-changing. Was it that deep for you?
No.
No?
It's...
Did you bash away the Japanese ships?
it's a beautiful, when you hear about the whales and the way these particular whales give birth down around Hawaii, and then they travel north with their cub. The cub stays with the mother whale for a number of months. And, you know, when you see the mother and the baby whale, yeah, you know, it is a little bit spiritual, but it's, they're wonderful creatures, wonderful
Absolutely.
Creatures.
Now, you're here on Detours. I'm Greg. Lindsay is my co-host over here, my fabulous co-host.
Co-fabulous co-host.
And we're here with Paul Williamson. And we're discussing this cruise up the coast of Alaska in Sarah Palin country.
Didn't see Sarah.
No Sarah spotting.
Now, she's a butt of a bit of humour, isn't she?
She is.
Well,
she
when
is.
You said whale, I thought, you know, could it be Sarah in disguise and, you know, somebody about to harpoon her?
Actually, another thing that was really good about this cruise is we met some very interesting people, including a Canadian couple who took one look at Anthony and myself and said, "Now, are you two married?" And I said, "No, we live in Australia and same-sex marriage is not legal there." And she said, "Oh, I've got two friends who live here in Canada who are married and there's no big deal." I said, "Well, Australia's a long way behind Canada and Spain and a number of other European countries." That was interesting.
I hope Julia Gillard's listening to that.
Well, there's the
that you've embarrassed
your
our tourists, yeah.
This is your next bit of music. We don't want people to be left in this unmarried state, do
That's
we?
Right. Don't leave me this way, Thelma Houston.
On Joy, 94.9.
Voice, your radio station. Joy 94.9. SMS 0427 Joy 949. I tremble.
0427 Joy 949.
You're here on Detours with Lindsay and Greg, and Paul Williamson's our guest who chose that fantastic piece of music.
Thelma Houston, Don't Leave Me This Way.
And thanks for that. I can remember dancing to that when it was a hit the first time. You know, all those baby boomers out there would remember Isabella's, Annabella's, Jan's Dancers, Spangles. We all danced to it.
Pennies.
I don't think, no, Pennies was a bit later than Thelma. Thelma was more Isabella's and... And Annabelle's and Jan's Dancers and Spangles, I think, was still around. But I was only 12.
So was Paul and so was I. That's right.
That's absolutely right. Now, you were asking about Sarah Palin before the break. Yeah. We actually met a couple who were, I would say, at the other end of the political spectrum. We met a retired general, or he was just about to retire, and his wife, and they were from one of the southern states, Alabama.
Alabama?
Or, Alabama or Arkansas, I can't remember right off the top of my head. But they were charming. We sat with them on the first night at dinner, and then we ended up having dinner with them a second time, which we organised because we got on with them so well. And they were just so charming and so interested in us and our life and, you know, no concern that we were a gay couple. None at all.
Isn't it great when you strip away the ignorance? And sometimes it actually takes you to get to the other side of the world before you realise how accommodating and how understanding and accepting people are of difference.
Yeah, and I think it's similarly with the crew. There was, you know, they were all fine. We were treated just as a regular couple, and people, the crew were great. They remembered your names, some of them did, and, you know, they're always smiling at you, always helpful. There was nothing in the way of, you know, any discrimination or...
Well, let's face it.
As you would expect, in one sense, but it's...
One of the greatest recruiters of gay men and lesbians in the world.
Absolutely, so, yeah.
There's a line there, I'm not going.
That's right.
We had an email there, Greg, from James of Windsor, who says he loves cruising.
I think James more than loves it. He loves it extremely a lot.
He does. Yes. Thanks, James.
Fantastic. You can join in too on 0427JOY949. If you're at your internet terminal or have a little mobile phone with email, onair@joy.org.au. And you can even email detours@joy.org.au if you want to come on the show and check out our Facebook Detours on Joy949.
So many ways to contact us.
Oh, very, very contactable.
It's amazing this age, isn't it? Absolutely amazing.
Did you have internet access on your ship?
We did. And we had to pay a small amount for it, but it was really good. We just and the person who helped out with the internet was terrific. He was very helpful. So, yeah, we could keep up with what was going on or ignore it as we chose.
Oh, yeah.
So the journey from Anchorage in Alaska to Vancouver in Canada, how long does that take?
It took 10 days. It could be done quicker if you, you know, didn't stop at all the lovely ports along the way. And, you know, there are a number of cruise liners that do the route. The Disney, we saw the Disney ship at one stage. Holland America Cruises are up there. Seabourn, I think. So there's plenty of options for people to choose from. I think it's just a lovely part of the world to see. It's such a pristine environment. And Vancouver itself, I think, is a beautiful city. We were told subsequently... on the trip that it's the only city in North America / Canada where real estate prices are continuing to go up. And a lot of the, I think, Hollywood stars have homes in Vancouver now because it's so close to the snowfields at Whistler and what have you. So, yeah, Vancouver's really going ahead in a positive way. Lots of the streets are very wide. There's a sense of urban planning there, some wonderful old buildings, parklands. So if people have never been to Vancouver, I do recommend it as a North American city.
And it's a winter destination and a summer destination for the North American summer as well.
Correct, yeah.
So if you want to get up into the Rockies, you can, which I think you may
Is what we did. We had one night only in Vancouver and then we boarded the Rocky Mountaineer train, which was a two-day journey through to Banff. We followed the river, the Fraser River, for the first day, most of the first day, and then up into the Mojave Desert, which comes up from the US. And we had two guides on the train, Daniel and David. They were fabulous. They very skilled in their role. They told us all the little stories about places that we were passing as we travelled. And we were in what's called the Gold Leaf, which is it's two levels. And upstairs you have the roof is a window, so you can see up and out either side. And then downstairs they have the dining car, and they have two sittings. So half the carriage goes down for breakfast first, and then the other half, and then similarly for lunch. And if you're on the second breakfast sitting, you get a little snack upstairs anyway, so you get fed and watered throughout the day. And the scenery is just as I say, amazing, really spectacular.
Now, what's the bed like to sleep in?
Well, no, you don't sleep on the train. The first night we got to a place called Kamloops, which is way out in the middle of the desert, really. It's situated on the fork between two rivers, the rivers sort of turn into a lake, and it's quite a nice natural setting, but a little bit of had the feeling of, again, of a bit of a frontier town. But we were able to have a little bit of a walk around there, and then retire to our hotel, and then get up early to be on the
wind back hotel room.
Hotel room.
Hotel rooms.
Average, you know, average? The typical. In fact, probably better than average, really, because I think in Canada they tended to have two double beds. So if you didn't want to sleep with your partner for whatever reason, you could have your own bed.
Very sensible. Very sensible idea.
Yeah, because I sort of had a relationship sort of fall apart in Malaysia, and believe me, you need those beds.
With the Rocky Mountaineer, we were booked into all the, I think they're called the Canadian Pacific Hotels, and the one in Banff is the Banff Springs Hotel, which is amazing. It, I think, was built in about 1920, and it's sort of turrets everywhere, and it's a huge place. But again, they know how to look after you, and of course, we sort of wandered into the restaurant there, and was served by a waiter who was from Western Australia.
Of course.
Practically all the staff were from somewhere else. They were either from the east of Canada or from Australia or where, you know, elsewhere.
And what's staple food over there?
Pretty similar to what we would have here. You know, steaks, chicken, pastas, etc., etc. The wines are interesting. We tried a couple of Canadian wines, and they were fine. I whenever I go overseas, I'm always looking forward to getting back to the Australian wines, though. That's one thing I miss when I travel.
You can still find them in a lot of places, can't you?
That's true.
But for a bit of a price, they mark them up.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we're having a great time. 2 days on this train, stopping off midway in the desert, effectively.
That's right. Yeah. And then the second day into Banff, and then we had the night at the Banff Springs. Then we had 2 days in and around Banff and Lake Louise. So we were met by the bus driver in a great big 30 or 40-seater bus, and we said, oh, how many people are getting on this bus? And he said, six. And it was two other Australian couples, one couple from Melbourne and another couple from Adelaide, who we'd met the Adelaide couple on the train. And so the six of us got chauffeured around in this great big bus for 2 days, essentially. We had a different bus driver the second day. But the first day we went out to Lake Louise and had a look at the lake and unloaded our bags, because that's where we were staying that night. And then we did a helicopter flight. It was awesome. In fact, we did two helicopter flights. The first one north of Lake Louise, going towards Jasper. And the second one was the day after, was going towards Calgary. So between Banff, heading east. And both were just spectacular. We flew up over mountains. We saw glaciers. You know, I was also lucky enough last year to go to New Zealand and do a helicopter flight out of Milford Sound back to Queenstown. And for people that haven't done helicopter flights, yes, they're quite expensive, but they are worth it. I think that flight...
A little bit scary, though, Paul.
It was a little bit scary. The first one, when we took off in Milford Sound, I was sort of adjusting my headset and getting comfortable. And before I knew it, we were about 20 feet up. And I you know, I looked down and I could see through the floor. And yes, that was a little bit scary.
And Milford Sound and that area of New Zealand is a training ground for people, for helicopter pilots to be able to
Oh, thanks for telling me, Greg.
A lot of people that will go there to get their stripes, as it were, on travelling through those mountain ravines. And did your helicopter do some of those sweeping tours?
Yes, we did. We did a few sweeps and dips. And at one stage on the second one, going towards Calgary, we came up over this big peak and it just falls away. And we sort of looked down and I think both Anthony and I had our hearts in our mouths, as it were. Yeah, it's a little bit it's a little bit scary.
Fantastic experience. Yeah. Did you book those tours over
No. We booked them all through Rocky Mountaineer. And I have to pay tribute to Anthony here. He was the chief organiser of this whole trip. So he was the one that found the cruise. He found Rocky Mountaineer. He found the extra days with this. The helicopters were all organised through Rocky Mountaineer. And, yeah, so Anthony did a fabulous job. Thank you, Anthony.
Well done. I mean, you're listening now, aren't you?
I hope so.
Anthony, get your map out, Anthony. You're plotting the next journey. For
yes, he is.
Yeah, he can plot my trip. This is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. It, then we ended up going through to Calgary, and that's one place I wouldn't recommend. Calgary is sort of a... it's a city on the prairie. It's grown up around a river valley, and it's mainly a mining centre. And it's pretty flat and ordinary, I'm afraid.
Oh, mining centre. It rains.
There's the Calgary Tower. We went up the Vancouver Tower too, which I forgot to mention. But the Calgary Tower, you go up and you look around, and you see sort of flat suburbs in and lots of car parks. It's it reminded me little bit of Adelaide, but not even nearly as charming as Adelaide.
Well, you know what? Your third bit of music will
pick up the pace.
What have you chosen for us?
I have chosen The Weather Girls. Uh-huh. It's Raining Men.
Fantastic. You're on Joy 94.9 with Detours, Lindsay and Greg.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on Detours with Lindsay and Greg and our guest today, Paul Williamson. Now, Paul, that song was just awesome.
It was The Weather Girls, It's Raining Men, and Lindsay and I were dancing along to that.
Oh, we were. We were shaking it and grooving it. And you know, one thing that always fascinates me is whenever you go to, you know, a dyke bar and, you know...
Which we do frequently, us two.
Well, yeah, of course. I know, I've seen you there, Greg, all butched up. But the thing that always fascinates me is that if ever that song is played, every lesbian in the room gets on the dance floor and dances to it. It's amazing. And I've sat there thinking, like, it's Raining Men. Like, what is it? I mean, it's just an incredible thing. I keep talking about myself, what is it? It's Raining Men. And, you know, sometimes these girls, you know, that they might be a little bit feminist or whatever, but they're out there dancing to it. So it's one of those songs that has sort of, you know, brought people together in the strangest ways.
Now, Greg, we should say hello to Peter, who's about to be lost in Buenos Aires with awesome. His partner, Mike. They're going to the Iguazu Falls, which is bigger than Niagara, and then a few days in Rio. And the day after we arrive in Rio is their gay pride at Copacabana Beach.
Oh, fabulous, Peter.
So that's Peter and Mike. And
well, when you're back, Peter and Mike, give us an email, detours@joy94.9.
And you know,
and we'll get you on board.
Yeah, and I travel the world to see Peter Stevenson shaking his maracas. You know that.
And we've also had an email from someone in South Yarra who hasn't given their names, but saying, have you done a review of Greece in the last couple of months? Just wondering, as the Mediterranean is an option for us this summer. So have you?
Well, we haven't for a while, but there's a circuit party involving 10 different dance parties that finished one or two days ago, and we have a couple of people, including Andy Josh Lim, that's over there and bringing back the tales of what's happening.
And I think Glenn Dalton has been on the beach at Mykonos as well.
Right. He went to the nude beach, so if you're streaming on your mobile phone...
That's app, too much information.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures that you didn't take, Mr. Dalton.
Oh, dear.
No, I don't want to go there. I really don't want to go there. But, you know, the interesting thing about this show is that, you know, the amount of text messages and messages and, you know, the carrier pigeons that land on the windowsill letting us know, it's really just apparent that how much gay people really do travel. I don't know that there's a show out there in straight land like this, but, you know, like, you know, people ring, oh, I'm going to Buenos Aires. And, you know, we get that all the time. And I just think it's fabulous that we are out there and we're doing what we want to do. And as Peter said, linking with people who don't see us as a problem, a total acceptance, blah, blah, blah. I think it's fabulous. Thank you, everybody.
Whether it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience or it's, you know, it's that second one in the month. Because a lot of us only travel once or twice in our whole lives. And it's such an incredible life-changing experience, isn't it?
It is a life-changing experience. And it's, I agree with you, Lindsay. It's a real fabulous opportunity because you can and do meet wonderful people along the way and you see amazing sights and take part in festivals. Another thing, we also got down to San Francisco.
Oh, beautiful.
And we did get to the Gay Film Festival, which was on just for one film because we were sort of booked up. But and we got down to the Castro Theatre, and the Castro is a wonderful, wonderful old theatre, a little bit like it's bigger. It's a little bit like our Regent Theatre here. Mm. And there was a wonderful Wurlitzer organ, which sort of rose up fantastic. At the front, and the organist was tapping away, playing wonderful songs such as Over the Rainbow and other gay classics. And to be in this huge cinema theatre with, you know, it was just full of gay men and lesbians. It was quite empowering, and that was a bit of fun. And, of course, we had a little bit of a walk around the Castro and other parts of San Francisco, which is San Francisco is a really interesting city. It's very beautiful, in a very beautiful environment surrounded by the bay. But it's also got quite an undercurrent of people living on the streets, and people with disabilities, and you know, it's very obvious there. The safety net in the US is really not as good as the safety net that we have here to look after people who are, you know, less fortunate and struggling. So that's quite apparent in San Francisco.
Did you drop past and see Harvey Milk's shop?
I didn't, actually. Oh. We must have missed Harvey Milk's shop.
No.
But it was fun down in the Castro. We got down there at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was, again, it was a warm evening, and there were a lot of men and women out wearing their singlets and just parading up and down and standing in line to get into the Castro to see the film. So, that was a fun time.
Pretty awesome. Mm. Hey, we've had an awesome time today too.
We have.
We've hardly touched on your travels.
We covered a little bit of them. So thank you very much for inviting me in.
Well, we'll have you back to follow through for sure.
Well, as we all depart and race to the airport, what's the highlight of your trip?
Oh my gosh, the highlight. Wow. I think it was the cruise. I think just being out on the water for 10 days and being looked after so well and just spending a bit of quality time with my wonderful partner.
Oh, he's so sweet. Hello, Anthony, out there.
Yes. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, Anthony.
Thank you, Paul, for sharing your journeys today with us.
Pleasure. Real pleasure. Thank
Absolutely.
You both.
We'll have you back. And Greg, it's the end of another show, I believe.
And we'll be back next week.
We most certainly will be.
Enjoy your weekend.
Stay travelling.
Bye-bye.
Happy trails.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.